Heavenly Father, we come before you and we would like to hear what you have to say to us. I pray that you open our eyes, that we can see the wonderful thing that is written in your Bible, that is given to us as a precious gift. And I pray that you open our ear that we can hear. And more importantly, once we understand what you have to say to us, I pray that you help us to make a determination, to make a decision to follow you all the days of our life and carry our cross, and so that in due time, we will not only receive salvation from you, the salvation of our spirit, salvation of our soul, and also receive a crown of glory, crown of life from you. And I pray that you help your servant to explain your word clearly to your children and give us spirit of wisdom and understanding so that we have a deep understanding of who you are and what you expect of us to do. And help us to know your will and do your will. And I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So today we talk about the life of Daniel. Daniel has 12 chapters. Today we study the first chapter. So Jean, could you read that, the first chapter? Chapter 1, the life of Daniel. And what's the reason why God used Daniel? And in chapter 1, all the way to chapter 12, as we study, then we have a better understanding what God's will is for us when we live on earth. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel is right at the center of the book. And after all these prophets, yeah. Daniel chapter 1. Read that out loud.
In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put it in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, to Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, he looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with him, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom.
Verse 21.
And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus.
Daniel, together with three of his friends, was taken captive on the third, it's around 3 to 4 years of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. And the king of Babylonian, called Nebuchadnezzar, came to Jerusalem and besieged the city of Jerusalem. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. And King Nebuchadnezzar took this article, golden article, silver article, from the temple of God, and take it to and put it in the treasure house of his God in Babylon. And together with that, the royal family and nobility, like the young man, including Daniel, and together with three of his friends, was taken captive to Babylon. But they have the opportunity to take him to university to study 3 years so as to learn their language. In verse 4, learns the language of the Babylonian and learn the literature of the Babylonian. And the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. That is a favor the king showed to this young nobility. They are from the tribe of Judah. Okay, Daniel was from the tribe of Judah together with three of his friends. And they are without defect and without any physical defect. And they are handsome, showing aptitude of every kind of learning, and well-informed, quick to understand. They learn it well. And they are qualified to serve in the king palace under the condition that they have to go through 3 years of training to learn the language and to learn the literature of the Babylonian so that they be able to serve, enter into the king's service. During that 3 years, the king assigned them a daily amount of food, give them room and board, you know. So at the same time, the high official even changed the name of Daniel to Belteshazzar, and changed the name of Hananiah to Shadrach, to Mishael to Meshach, and to Azariah to Abednego. They changed the name, teach them the culture, and teach them the language, but did not change their mind. You can change your name, and you can change your culture, learn a new culture, learn a new language, learn a new literature. But Daniel make a decision. He make up his mind. That is the reason why God used Daniel together with three of his friends. In verse 8, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And that is a decision that is against the culture. And he make up his mind. He know that he is godly offspring. He know that he is the offspring of David. He want to be used by God. Probably he remember what God has promised David. Right beside resolve, you write down Psalm 89, Psalm 132. Take a look, Psalm 89. I believe Daniel must have read the Bible in Psalm 89. Psalm 89:3, you said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. He believed in that. And then go to Psalm 89, verse 35. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie to David. David is of the tribe of Judah. Daniel is also of the tribe of Judah, together with three of his friends. They are from royal nobility. In verse 3. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court official, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. And these four people, young men, was from royal family. And they are young men without physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in king's palace. Okay, and then we go to Psalm 89, verse 35. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie to David, that his line will continue forever, and his throne endure before me like the sun. And it will be established forever like the moon and the faithful witness in the sky. And he believed that God has sworn to David that his descendant will reign as king as long as they live a holy life. And now they were taken into captivity and he turned around. Okay? Psalm 132, take a look. I believe that the reason why Joseph can live a holy life because he has two dreams. In the same way, I believe Daniel make that resolution, make that decision to live a holy life, not to sin against God. He must have read Psalm 89 and Psalm 132. 132, verse 1, verse 11. Verse 11, the Lord sworn an oath to David, a sure oath that he will not revoke. One of your own descendants I will place on your throne. If your son keep my covenant and the statute I teach them, then their son will sit on your throne forever and ever. And he believed in it. He wanted to be used by God. So that's why. So you write down, what do you write down? You write down Psalm 89, right beside Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, right beside resolve. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. What make him carrying the cross? What make him not following the pattern of the world? What make him not following the way of the world? What make him doing something different from all the other young people? Because he knows that God has sworn to David a sure oath that God will not revoke. One of your own descendants I will place on your throne. And if your son keep my covenant and the statute I teach them, then their son will sit on your throne forever and ever. He believed in it. Psalm 132, 11 to 12. Psalm 89, what did I say? 89, 3 to 4. And 89, 35 to 37. Right? And I believe, especially Psalm 89, Daniel must have read it. Why? Because now they were in captivity. They were the first group of people being taken into Babylon. Daniel is the first group. Second one is Ezekiel. The third one is in the time of Zedekiah. So those people who are taken into captivity, you know, they see the anger of the Lord. I read that to you. Psalm 89, verse 46. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how fleeting is my life, and for what futility you have created all men. What man can live and not see death, or save himself from the power of the grave? O Lord, where is your former great love, which in your faithfulness you sworn to David? Remember, Lord, how your servant has been mocked, how I bear in my heart the taunt of all the nation. And they are put to shame and disgrace because they were taken into captivity. And yet they remember the Lord's promise. And oh, that the Lord has made to David. If your servant, if your children after you turn around and repent, and obey God's word, and the Lord will use them. So in verse 8, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He's not following the way of the world. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2? As for you, you were dead in your sins and transgression in which you used to live. When you follow the way of the world and when you follow the way of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, who are they? The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And Daniel want to obey God now because he suffered. The reason why he suffered, he was taken into captivity because his forefather and his family sins against God. How do I know that? In Daniel chapter 9, he confessed the sins of that. In Daniel chapter 9. He know that the reason why we are not living in the promised land, we are living in captivity is because he has sins against God. So he turned around. Okay? He turned around not to sin against God anymore. So he make a resolution. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine. And, you know, this is a very difficult task to do because it makes a lot of difficulty to those who are lord over them, okay? And he asked the chief official in verse 3. That chief official is called Aspenas. Is the king order Aspenas, chief of his court official, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. So Daniel asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. When he make up his mind to do so, God showed favor to him. Now God has caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you look worse than the other young man your age? The king would then have my head because of you. So what he's worrying is, if you're not eating this kind of choice food, the royal food and wine, he may lose his head, because the king Nebuchadnezzar thinking that, wow, you cut corner, you're not giving the good food to my people, that who are going to serve me later on after 3 years of training. He's afraid of that, because he know what Nebuchadnezzar is like. So Daniel is a wise man, verse 11. He didn't give up. Daniel then said to the guard. So in verse 3, the king ordered the chief official, and then Daniel asked the chief official, but God caused the chief official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But he's afraid to lose his life. He didn't say yes, he didn't say no. He leave it open. And then Daniel then said to the guard. The guard is under the control of chief official. The chief official is under the control of King Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel said to the guard, whom the chief official has appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetable to eat and water to drink. We don't want to drink wine. We just want to eat vegetable, because under the menu of the king Nebuchadnezzar must have pork, right? So he didn't want to make a fuss for that, so he just eat vegetable for that. He gave us nothing but vegetable to eat and water to drink. He didn't want to drink wine, because he wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And later on you see that. Right beside water to drink, you write down Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk. When you get drunk, it leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Daniel do not want to drink any wine when he was young. And he stopped drinking that. And that's why God used him. Because he want to be filled with the Word of God. He want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. He didn't want to be controlled by the alcohol, by wine. So that's why he asked the God, give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young man who eat the royal food and treat your servant in according with what you see. See whether we are better or we are worse. If we are worse, then give us royal food and drink. But test it for 10 days. He is very, very wise. He didn't want to put the high official in difficulty, nor the guard in difficulty to lose their head. He just tested 10 days. It won't get hurt. So in other words, we learned that. You know, if you have anything you ask your boss for favor to do things that you know, that's pleasing the Lord, then you ask your boss, your supervisor, test it for 10 days. See, you know, whether I'm better than the other person. And put God to the test too. If that's what God allow you to do, 10 days will tell. Learn this. This is a wise... this is a wise conversation between you and your superior. If you want to do God's will and to see whether God show favor and sympathy to you, then you can try that, okay? At the same time, you don't put your supervisor in jeopardy, right? So what happened? Verse 14. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. It's a fair thing to do, right? It's appropriate. At the end of the 10 days, they look healthier and
better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. Not only they are healthy physically, and they are wiser mentally, and they are wiser spiritually too, because they want to live a godly life. They want to live a life different from the way of this world. Do not follow the way of this world. I know what the way of this world is like. A lot of young men, they think it's very cool to have the iPod, iPhone, right? That is garbage, I tell you. With iPhone, iPod, without God, you go to hell with that. You understand? We don't ask for this. We don't need iPhone. Did Pastor John have iPhone? No, okay.
Not yet.
Not yet. Did he has iPad, iPod, iTunes? But I have Jesus Christ within my heart. That make it very cool, okay? Verse 16. So the God took away their choice food, the royal food, and the wine they were to drink, and give them vegetable instead. Verse 17. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. Take a look. Compare verse 17 with the requirements of verse 4. Young men without physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand and qualified to serve in the king palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. And yet to these four young men, they have resolved not to defile themselves with the royal food and wine. And God showed favor to them by giving these four young men knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. Not only the learning, not only the literature of the Babylonian. Give them the literature of the whole world. Not just knowing the language of Babylonian. He knows all kind of languages. Very, very wise, eh? Better than study in Harvard University and MIT and Caltech. Of course, a lot better than U of A. Right? He has God with him, right? Who give him knowledge? God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning to Daniel together with three of his friends. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Next week, we study chapter 2, and he even know the dreams that Nebuchadnezzar has already forgotten. Not only know the dream that he has, and can interpret that. Because God gave them the knowledge and understanding. Now I want to stop here. What's the reason why we want to go to a good university? We want to have a good future, right? But when you make up your mind to resolve not to defile yourself, not to follow the way of this world, not to let the world to change your mind, they can change your name, they can teach you new language, new literature, new culture. But deep in your mind and in your heart, you resolve not to defile yourself. And you have room for Jesus. And God going to fill you with his knowledge and understanding. That God going to set you apart above all of your companions. In those days, how God set Joseph apart, and in today's day, he can set you apart too. You remember what's the reason why? God used Joseph? Because Joseph said to his master's wife, how could I do such a wicked things and sins against God to commit adultery? He did not want to defile his own body. Joseph did not want to defile his own body by sexual immorality. Daniel did not want to defile his body by royal choice food and wine. And if you make the same kind of decision, not to defile your body with sexual immorality, but I tell you one thing, God gonna greatly use you beyond measure. And he's going to give you long lives too. I believe Daniel at that time is around 14, maybe 17 at most. He's a young man. 3 years of training, he's not that old. He's still young. But he make up that mind to be greatly used by God. And I can see that. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, I believe Paul must have read Daniel too. So that's why he tells Timothy, what should we do? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, the latter part, verse 7. Rather, train yourself to be godly, like Joseph, like Daniel. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. In a large house, there's a house, it's a household of God. In the large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for noble purposes and some for ignoble. Verse 21. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, cleanses himself from the ignoble, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, make holy, useful to the Master, our Lord Jesus, and prepare to do any good work. If you want to be used by God, you have to make up your mind to follow the very footstep of Joseph. That is recorded in Genesis chapter 39, verse 9. And 10, if I remember right. Genesis chapter 39, verse 9 and 10. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked things and sins against God? He make up his mind not to defile himself. He wants to keep his body holy. So what does it mean by he keep himself holy? Keep his body holy. I want you to write, how can I do such a wicked thing? I want you to write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 all the way to 20. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commit are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. So Joseph did not want to sin against God, nor did he want to sin against his own body. Why? Verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are of your own. You are not of your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Joseph honored God with his body, not to commit sexual sins against his master, Potiphar, and against God that he served. He know that his body is a temple of God, is holy, where the Holy Spirit is going to dwell. Verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commit are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. So I want you to write it down, sins against God. Write down 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 18 to 20. We have to pray to God to help us not to sin sexually against our own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God, and you are not your own? You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. When Joseph honored God with his own body, and God honored him, putting him second in the throne under King Pharaoh. And when Daniel honored God with his own body, he was so filled with the Holy Spirit, later on, he served in King's palace. And he is second in the throne too, only under Nebuchadnezzar. If we want to be quickly used by God, we have to make that decision as early as possible, so that we won't miss out all kind of opportunity God will put in front of you. Joseph suffered for 13 years. And he's going to get the reward from God. Do you think it's worth it? Holding promise, not only to the present life, also to the life to come, is good. Keep that in mind. So after you study, I want you to, when you go home, read one more time of what you have learned, and then pray to God. Say, God, I want to make that decision today, not to defile myself, and I want to make my body holy in your sight. And also, right beside resolve, you write down Romans 12, 1 to 2. All these people, greatly used by God, they have made a resolution not to defile his own body. I want to stop here. Take a look at the life of Joseph and take a look at the life of the presidential candidate, Herman Cain. Now there's a dirt lady accusing him to have sexual relationship with him for a period of 13 years, and he denied that. But this one is going to hard to swallow. Look like he's going to drop out the race. It's amazing, eh? After all this year, he was disqualified. He could have been the president of the United States. You do not know what kind of opportunity God will open up for you. But because when you were young, you have made a decision that you defile your body, you lose that golden opportunity. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices, not to defile your body by sexual immorality or with unclean food or drink. Fill your body with the Holy Spirit instead of alcohol. Offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. If you do something that is pleasing to God, I tell you, in due time, God will do something in your life and in your family. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. We have followed the pattern of this world long enough already. We should stop doing it now. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is for your life. His will is good will. His will is pleasing will. His will is a perfect will for you. And Peter saying the similar things. First Peter chapter 2 verse 11, dear friends, I urge you as alien and stranger in the world to abstain from sinful desire which war against your soul. Live such good life among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. We used to offer our body to follow the pattern of this world, the way of this world, and we have to ask God to help us not to do it anymore. Today's the time. We're doing God's stuff. You know what? If you want to have a good job, a job that is pleasing in your sight, you do what God wants you to do. And He's going to set you apart. He's going to honor you. You can have a good life. Train yourself physically, has some value. Train yourself to live a godly life, to offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God, holding promise both to the present life and the life to come. As we study next week, how God quickly used Daniel together with three of his friends, we see that. All right? So make that decision when you get home and pray to God and ask God to help you. Say, Lord, I want to be like Joseph. I want to be like Daniel. Will you please set me apart? And I know that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. You say, Lord, I want to be an instrument in your hand that is noble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, He will be an instrument for noble purposes. Make holy, useful to the master, and prepare to do any good work. He said, Lord, I want to be greatly used by you. And today, you set me apart. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to remember what we have learned from the life of Joseph and from the life of Daniel. Although, when they choose to live a godly life, they don't have a smooth sailing. They face difficulty, but you help him all along. And eventually, he becomes an overcomer, and just like you, and honor you. And they are prepared to do any good work. Lord, I pray that in those days, how you used Joseph and Daniel to advance your kingdom, to bring people to come to know you. And I pray that in today's day, you set us apart, for we have Holy Spirit within our heart, for we were purchased with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are cleansed by your word, by your blood, and by your Holy Spirit. And we are set apart for your good use. And I pray that you're going to use us as gold and silver instrument, not wood and clay. We want to be greatly used by you. And I pray that you're going to help us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Encourage us with your word. And lead us all the days of our life. And just like how you lead Joseph, starting from Genesis chapter 37 all the way to chapter 50. And he lived such a good old age. He still believed in you when he died. Same as Daniel. From Daniel chapter 1 all the way to Daniel chapter 12. And he's still serving you at the age of over 90. Lord, I pray that how you use Joseph and Daniel in those days, you're going to use each and every one of us. I hand myself and all our children into your hand. We know that we are in good hand. No one, not even Satan, can snatch us off the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ and of the hand of our Heavenly Father. For we recognize your voice, we hear you, and we know you, and you know us. We want to follow you every day of our life until we see you face to face. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.